Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Well, damn, man. Y'all really jumped in on the question that I asked.
Kind of organic.
About the, you know, the worst... Worst way to lose a game, a ball game of some sorts after the White Sox lost in magnificent fashion. And, of course, the Astros had a very frustrating loss in their own right with the walk-off walk that they issued. And some various other ones have continued to come in. And I love that you guys have gotten real detailed. The 832 wrote, losing game 7 of a playoff series when you're down 2 with bases loaded and your MVP candidate and best player strikes out looking.
That is oddly specific.
From the 832, having a 35-3 lead. Game-ending pitch clock violation. They said strike 3, which pitch clock violation I imagine would be a walk-off walk as well, just in a different fashion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it'd be the batter with two strikes and not addressing the pitcher in time. Was it 8 seconds left on the pitch clock?
Yes.
Or is it 8 or 10 or whatever? Mm-hmm. If you don't address, and that would make me the most mad. Like, what you mean you're not ready to hit?
Yeah.
You got two strikes.
Game over.
Yeah. What about the wild pitch? Just a wild pitch walk off type deal.
Wild pitch does upset me.
It ain't great.
It does upset me.
That's borderline just a walk.
Yeah.
Someone said, or missing 27 threes consecutively with bad calls on top of it. Now I just feel like
that sound familiar.
That was on the list.
We're just in a bad place now. Yeah. So let's pull out of
that. We're just naming bad moments.
Yeah, let's steer out of this at this point. All right. 2 weeks till the NFL draft begins, night one of the draft on the 24th, two Thursdays from today. And so I want to get into it. Like, let's check in. Where is your pet cat? Who is your pet cat? What is the player that you have looked at, you're like, I really like this cat, whether it's just like, I really like this cat for the Texans, or you're just like, hey, this is a guy that I really enjoy. And we'll pair that with, apparently, was it The Athletic put this together? I think also ESPN had.
Yeah, ESPN had the one I was looking at.
Had one as well. Mm-hmm. Seems like a lot of people are in that same place. Of some of the more, what's the right word here?
Polarizing.
Polarizing is such a good word. Thank you, Mr. Word Man Lopez. What's some of the more polarizing players in this draft?
Well, for me,
your pet cat or your polarizing player?
My pet cat, you know, I really, really kind of really started liking the prospect of the Texans getting this guy yesterday, the more I dug in. And that's the Missouri running back, Caleb Johnson. Iowa running back, Caleb Johnson. You know, I dug in a little bit on him. I'm like, why is he not higher on a lot of boards? Now, he's not low, but why is he not higher on a lot of boards? He's a big dude, zone scheme. But he's on both these lists. They have him on the polarizing list as well.
This is really interesting because I had not seen him particularly this high.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know, I am very fond of Dan Brugler and his work.
Well, it's getting late in the game, too.
It is getting late in the game. Yeah. He's put out his Beast, which is his, you know, really comprehensive draft guide. when it comes to running backs, right? We know Ashton Jeanty is running back one. Mm-hmm. Where do you think Caleb Johnson falls in the running back hierarchy? Like, which number running back would you assume?
See, I've seen him consistently around four or five.
Right, like over there, around there talking, around like the Ohio State guys, yeah. Right? Because there's Omarion Hampton in North Carolina. I think mm-hmm. a lot of people view him as the second best. Some people have him on the same level with mm-hmm. Jeanty in an interesting fashion. But then you have the Ohio State running backs, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, that, you know, they're usually three or four or five in that same space.
Yeah, generally it.
Dane Brugler has Caleb Johnson as the third best running back.
Okay.
In this. So, okay. Like, you would probably need to use that 58 if you were trying to get Caleb Johnson, the player who has come in mm-hmm. for a visit this week.
And that's what got me going. You know, that's where yeah. I was really starting to dig in. The big polarizing aspect of it, the comment, is it has to be the right fit. Not anything off field or anything, that he's just sort of a not a one trick pony, but he's best in a big zone blocking scheme, downhill, that kind of thing. I really like him. Starting to really like him.
Yeah, I mean, the strengths mm-hmm. that has run square, physically put together with power throughout the frame, mm-hmm. consistently carries tacklers for extra yards, backside cuts, reads very well. Mm-hmm. You talked about zone. That's one of those things that definitely shines in those instances. Light feet, zero fumbles also, like, so protecting the football, but, you know, not a home run hitter, right? So he's just mm-hmm. one of those guys that's, like, strong. He'll, you know, do the job.
I'll take it.
Not crazy elusive, but kind of in that place mm-hmm. For Pet Cat. It seems like on the text line, fair names that have come in and names that we've heard a lot. Matthew Golden, mm-hmm. wide receiver for Texas. He comes in as, like, you know, for a lot of people, their wide receiver two or three, depending on how you view Travis Hunter, if you're going to talk about him as a cornerback or even in any ways, like, as just in a different situation of his own, like mm-hmm. by himself. But Matthew Golden, probably after T-Mac McMillan from Arizona, mm-hmm. he's a guy that's there, and he's a guy that just seems like he does everything well, right? Like, he just does everything well. I know that he had some drops in his career early on, but, like, this is a dude that seems like he fits exactly what the Texans would need, and a lot of people are excited for the possibility of him in the NFL, and hopefully if he falls to these.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wide receiver that has really sort of intrigued me the most lately is Trey Harris, the receiver from Ole Miss. Started out at Louisiana Tech.
Yes.
And went to Ole Miss and really excelled, like immediately excelled. But he's listed like in the 7-8 cat. I don't know where Dane Brugler has him, but he's listed like 7-8 on the thing. The guy's like 6'3", 6'4". What is keeping him from being higher is he's a Z receiver. He's a stretch the field guy, not known as the best route runner, but he just gets open deep, even though he runs like a 4.5, which yeah. wouldn't be one of those things that people, you know, really gravitate
to. Not immediate speed, doesn't have suddenness, yeah. and then you mentioned those drops. That comes up. He's the eighth wide receiver.
Yeah, I've seen him usually 7-8, but I mean, talk about someone who. All he does is make plays. No, I'm not saying that, but he does produce.
This is a great one that's come in here on the text line. Pet Cat, Tyler Booker. And I imagine mm-hmm. some of that is just like big, strong dude, physical, mm-hmm. but like he talks the talk, right? This is one of those guys that I imagine if you were to talk about Pet Cat for D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio, mm-hmm. he could come up, because what's the thing that it seems like they want to do and they want to add specifically to the offense?
Well, they got to add speed. They got to add speed. They got to add playmaking.
Well, yeah. There's that. Mm-hmm. But I think more than anything, you can maybe take to mean...
Well, they're going
to
protect CJ. It's their number one priority.
Sure, yeah. But you could take the Laremy Tunsil move to mean they really want to add some swarm.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a swarmy offensive player, it feels like it is Tyler Booker, right? It feels like that guy absolutely exists in that place. He talks about wanting to make dudes quit behind playing that football. Yeah. You know, like he wants to be in that place.
Want him to give up football.
That's right.
To love football less.
So that's some of the pet cats there. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about these polarizing players because your pet cat falls into this, does he not?
Yeah, he's one that is in both those lists. But I got a question for you guys.
Okay.
Both you. Why is Cam Scataboo not mentioned more? Is it just the size? Is that that? Because that's what they talked about in terms of he's a polarizing player all of a sudden. Very, very, as you heard from John Harris yesterday, very, very deep running back class. Maybe that's part of it as well. That dude is awesome. I mean,
there's a lot of 5'9", you know, pocket rockets.
Yes.
But that's the problem. He's not that like, at all. He's just a dude who is gritty. Like, he's one of those guys that I kind of look at and I go, is he just a great college running back? Mm-hmm. Because he just kind of got the job done. Like, it's not like there's crazy speed. It's not like there's crazy shiftiness. Mm-hmm. He just did a little bit of everything, and he did it with a level of gusto that makes you feel like, all right, man, that's great. He's the 12th running back for Dane Brugler, for whatever that's worth, with a grade that's in third or fourth round, that mm-hmm. kind of situation. Yeah, man, like that dude is just kind of...
Where do you fall on him?
I mean, if you end up getting him later, like if you get him in the fourth or fifth round,
mm-hmm.
cool. But I don't know. Like I very much look at him, as I said earlier, he might be like a great college running back and then just another running back that you have in the room, like an also-ran. Yeah. I don't know that there's a thing that he does particularly great. And so...
He gets extra yardage. Like, he gets extra yardage, you know, when he's bottled up. I mean, we saw what he did against Texas, you know?
He might be one of those players that he got to be in the right situation, mm-hmm. like Baltimore or... Kansas City, like a place like that where he's not necessarily the star
right.
or the starter, but somebody that's very important on a team like that.
Mm-hmm. He does a little bit of a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, that's cool. But I mean, if I'm like that, that's cool if you're getting just another guy that you want to add mm-hmm. talent to a room. I don't know. I think that at the top of it, you're looking for guys that do something special. And it feels like he doesn't have anything particularly special outside of just like that willingness. Like he just kind of has a want
and
to.
And gaining a lot of yards.
In there.
And gaining
that's
a
why
lot
he
of
might
yards.
Be kind of special like yeah. in the later rounds.
Yeah.
Somebody that's not like mm-hmm. focused on one thing.
Maybe for a team that already has a number one running back?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Huh, I wonder what team fits that role.
Okay, but if you were looking, because, I mean, now we're back down the running back
yeah.
role. And somebody says, say it, no one wants to draft a white running back. That's not true. Mm-hmm. You'll end up in a bad place if you're doing that. Like, this is one of those things that I believe strongly in. I think oftentimes it shows up in, like, when we're talking about coaching hiring, especially mm-hmm. coaches, minority coaches or coaches of color or what have you, whatever you want to term that. This also works with right running backs, and I'm very, you guys notice about me, I'm very pro to play, let that white man play cornerback. It's just the more that you limit your, the more that you limit your talent pool mm-hmm. based off of particularly arbitrary things, mm-hmm. the more you'll find yourself in a place where you do not add talent that is possible to you. It's not because he's white, it's like the type of player that he is an interesting one. Like, he's a great dude, like, he has that great, like, I guess he's got the great work ethic and mentality. I just wonder, like, does he do anything special enough to make him, like, a running back that you want to utilize? Or is he just kind of cool at everything? And does that then translate to a higher level where everybody's fast in the NFL level and everybody hits hard in those ways?
So. Yeah. I don't know. I think, you know, I hate to say, you know, all he does is make plays, all those cliches. I saw him just against really good teams consistently gain yards, gain a lot of yards, you know?
Yeah, somebody said he could be like Peyton Hillis that played running back on the Browns.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't say that. Be on the cover.
Yep, that one man cover. He had a great year. Mm-hmm. He did indeed have one great year.
Take him in the first round now. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
I mean, I very much jumped on the Josh Connerly Jr. train.
There you go.
I very much jumped on that. I am in that place where I really like what he has. One of the polarizing players that's come up falls in line with something that we have not talked enough about, mm-hmm. although it's kind of there for the Texans, is the possibility of like a defensive tackle, and Walter Nolan comes up.
Yeah, he's on the list.
In this?
Yeah, he's on that list of the most polarizing, as is Shamar Stewart, as there are obviously Shedeur Sanders.
Shamar Stewart is the edge rusher. Shamar Turner is the D-tackle, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah, right. Stewart is the one that, I've talked about multiple times. I saw him play every game. Incredible, incredible physique. He's going to be probably drafted in the first round. He had one sack, or one and a half, whatever it was. The production is the question there. Walter Nolan as well. We know the story with Shedeur Sanders. Those are some of the more polarizing players that are on the list, but have all the physical tools to do it.
Now, Walter Nolan is a place where it'll be interesting to see if you were even in that space to select him. But one of the things that keeps coming up with some of these players when we talk about, you know, polarizing is when interviews come up, mm-hmm. because we know how valuable personality and getting to know who that person is yeah. for these Texans in particular. According to an NFC executive, quote, impressive traits and we were fine with his interviews. Multiple scouts have maturity concerns, it pops up. Reflect his history of walking off the practice field mid-session
yeah.
due to frustrations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much does that play in an organization? But someone ultimately came around, a coach, said that your hands will be full and you'll need a real plan for him. I have a hard time thinking that he falls out of the top 20, so that's not necessarily in the space. But if he does fall, he is the type of talent that you have there.
Yeah.
Do you feel like putting him with a veteran-laden locker room like you have could help him in that circumstance?
Yeah, I do.
If you were inclined to get a D-tackle early, because that's something that we have not talked a lot about in this draft.
He's one of those guys that, boy, if you draft him real high, you've got some real work to do. If you draft him later, you know, 25, 30, 35, whatever it may be, you almost can. It's worth the risk, especially if you get him into the right locker room. So I think that's one that, you know, polarizing for a reason, you know, and they just laid it out.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
A little pet cat check. And so you're Caleb Johnson. You're on
Caleb recently. Johnson. I'm intrigued by Scataboo, just because I'm amazed that is it just the size? There's a lot of 5'10 running backs. A lot of them.
Yeah. I think some people use that mindset. Mm-hmm. Oh, you could get a running back in the later yeah. round or something like
Hi,
that.
Hi, I am some people.
Yeah.
I think
yeah. that's part of it too.
Mm-hmm. Is it bad that I have like, is it bad that I have the first rounder up here? Do I have to have like a later round pet cat as opposed
no.
to like having,
you got Connerly?
I mean, yeah, I'm really engaged with what Connerly is and like the upside that he presents while also being a dude that seems like he can start off the jump,
mm-hmm.
like early. Like, I'm very interested in what that looks like. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, about the time where we do our lunchtime confessions, and we will do those next.